You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm holding open the doors of the Bible bus as we depart for another great study of the Old Testament book of Amos. Now, in this study, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, is going to guide us through the first six verses of chapter 3. But before that, here are a few introductory remarks about a conversation that he had with a university professor in Hawaii many years ago.
He said, "You know, there are three enemies of Christianity today, and they are not atheistic, they are anti-Christian." And he meant by that more than being atheistic, they're actually against Christianity. And he enumerated them like this: the news media, politicians, and education. Now, whether he's accurate or not, I'm not prepared to say. From my viewpoint and the little that I know, I would say that he's accurate, that we are seeing today a tremendous transformation take place in our country, because now there's come to age that group that were taught atheistic evolution and were not taught morals at all. Morality has gone out of the way, it's down the drain. And as a result, why we today have a contemporary culture that is becoming definitely anti-Christian. There is a feeling on the part of these three groups to look down at Christian. I have experienced that they are something more than we are. They are more intellectual. They are more broad-minded. The very interesting thing is they talk about me being a narrow-minded fundamentalist. The most narrow-minded group that I find today are these three. They're very difficult today to see my position at all. In fact, they just push you aside and move on. You're not considered today. The viewpoint of the Bible has not been presented through the news media. It has not been presented in education today, and it's not being presented by politicians today. And, some claim to be Christians, but they are not exemplifying that. So that probably we need an Amos. I'm wondering today if there might be a young man with courage that'll stand up and declare the Word of God to this nation in the future. We need that young man right now, and for the benefit of Women's Lib, maybe it might be a woman. I think God's people ought to pray, because the only light at the end of the tunnel happens to be revival, and revival can never come apart from the Word of God. So Christians everywhere, pray for our nation at this time. Pray for those that are influencing us so much today. And I'm afraid some of them are brainwashing.
Let's invite the Lord to guide us into all truth as we study His Word. Lord, thank You for Your Word that brings revival. Please refresh our hearts and minds as we learn more about this message that You gave through Amos. Help us to hear the lesson that You have for each one of us as we dedicate this time to knowing You better. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's our study of Amos chapter 3 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are still in a prophetic book. In fact, in the Old Testament, we are going to spend the rest of the time in prophetic books. They all are books of prophecy. And in the New Testament, we'll spend most of our time there in the prophetic book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And the reason we're going to give an emphasis to the book of Revelation this time, as we've never done before, is because of not only the interest in prophecy today, but the very fact that there's so many indulging in fanaticism and sensationalism in attempting to set dates and say things that the Word of God does not countenance at all. Now, anyone that makes a statement that the Lord will come between now and 2000 A.D. is doing the same thing that a certain judge did when I was a boy and I went to hear him, and he had a famous message, millions now living will never die. Well, that crowd's just about all gone. A few of us are still around. I was just a boy when I heard him, but I don't think there are millions around today. It's always dangerous to make statements like that, and prophecy will not warrant that at all. And we have found concerning this man, Amos, that he's a very reasonable man, and he's an intelligent man, and he does not indulge in fanaticism at all. I must confess that some of his prophecies are rather sensational because of the fact that he's saying things that no one else was saying in that day. Now, as we come back to the third chapter, we found that he began by taking the nations round about, those that were contiguous to the nation Israel, those with whom they had to do, and pronounced judgment upon them. And then he pronounced judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah. And then he came home. That is, he was the prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel, and he pronounces judgment upon them. And we come now again, and I think I'll read verse 1 again in chapter 3, and we'll go on from there. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now, this chapter deals with the 12 tribes of Israel. God's judgment upon the two nations, both Judah and Israel. They were separate, and they are treated that way in chapter 2. But now in chapter 3, the judgment is pronounced upon the 12 tribes, those that came out of the Assyrian captivity, those that came out of the Babylonian captivity. He calls them the whole family. And here now is that family he brought out of Egypt. They are divided now, the northern and southern kingdom. Now, in verse 2, he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, and I take it of the nations of the earth. In other words, the sin of man after the flood was such that man at the Tower of Babel had departed from God. It was total apostasy at that time. And then God reached down in Ur of the Chaldees and called a man to get away from a home of idolatry and go to a place he'd show him. And he'd make of that man a nation and give him a land. Now, that's what he means here. You only have I known. In other words, in order to get a message through to the world, God had to use this method, because at the Tower of Babel, man had totally rejected God. And the Tower of Babel was not built to get man up above the flood stage of water. That was never the point. It was an altar that was built, apparently, to the sun. And you can understand why. Because they had come through a flood. And they felt that the God that had brought the flood was the God of darkness, the God of the storm. And now they're going to worship the sun. And you find out that that was the worship that prevailed in that Tigris-Euphrates Valley, actually to this very day, the worship of the sun. And you have that worship of light under Zoroastrianism, even down to the present day. Now, after the flood, God chose this man, and now he takes a nation in order that he might use this nation to get a word, and he's giving the word through this nation, and finally, this word is to go to the world, and that's the reason that we are on the radio giving the total Bible. It's because we believe that this is God's message for the world today, not just John 3:16. As wonderful as that is, But his message for the world is not John 3:16 only, but 66 books of the Bible. And all of those books, we believe we need to know it all. Now, he says, you only have I known of the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now, God says, I intend to judge you. Now, the nation Israel occupied this unique relationship to God. God gave them the commandments. That was the reason that he said, he judged Judah. I gave you the commandments. And God judged Israel because of the fact that they had broken so many of the commandments. And you see, light always creates responsibility. A privilege creates a greater responsibility than when a nation is in darkness. And this is a great principle that God puts down here. It is that he intends to judge those that have received light in a harsher manner than he would judge others. You know, the Lord Jesus mentioned the fact that some would receive few stripes, others more stripes. And my friend, I've made this statement many times as a pastor. I would rather be a heathen in the darkest corner of this earth, bowing down before a stone idol that is ugly and hideous, than to be a civilized so-called man in this country who sits in a church on Sunday morning and hears the gospel and do nothing about it. That man that hears the word has a greater responsibility than the man out yonder. And that means there are different degrees of punishment, by the way. And now he makes it very clear that he intends to punish them for your iniquities. Now, a great many, they like to hear about the love of God, and it's wonderful. And I don't think anyone's emphasized the love of God more than we have. I think that it's something that we need to rest upon, and it's something that we need to rejoice in. But we need to recognize also that when the love of God is rejected as it's manifested in the cross of Christ, because actually that's the only place you really see the love of God, when he gave his son, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's where he revealed it. And when that love is rejected, then nothing is left but punishment. Now, a great many people don't think God ought to punish, but since they are not running the universe, I'm of the opinion that their viewpoint will not be followed, nor I do not think God will listen to it. God already says that he's a holy, righteous, just God, and he intends to punish, and that this is a reasonable thing, it's a logical thing. And we have here, beginning with verse 3, a very interesting set of questions. In fact, there are 7 questions that are asked and answered, and these questions are quite logical and reveals what a matter-of-fact prophet Amos really was. This man got right down, friends, to the place where 2 + 2 = 4. He got right down where you and I live today. And here we find him dealing with certain great truths. And actually, as others have pointed out, what you have here, this man Amos, who was from the country, way down yonder in Tekoa, in the wilderness, he draws from his long experience down there these lessons in nature, in the natural world. And he learned something that a great many folk need to learn today that do not really know where a great many things come from. I never shall forget when my daughter was growing up here in Pasadena at her school, they took them out to a dairy. And she came home with the most exciting news that you've ever heard, friend. She told us that milk came from a cow. She thought that you got it over at the market, that you just reached in and took out a bottle or a paper carton of milk, and that's where it originated. It was an amazing fact. Well, this man, Amos, he's a countryman. He knows a great deal about nature, and it reveals he'd observed things. Now he's going to mention some of them as we go along. The first question is this. Can two walk together? Can two walk together? Yes. Except they be agreed. They can't go together if they're not in agreement. I watched a young couple the other day, haven't been married long, and they were walking down the street arm in arm, and all of a sudden, she turned around and stamped her little foot and started walking back toward their home, and he kept going. They weren't walking together. Something had happened. They had had a disagreement, probably one of their first fights, by the way. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Here is a cause and an effect. The cause is there must be agreement if you're to walk together with God. And the result will be, if you're to walk with Him, there must be agreement. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to come over and agree with you. You and I will have to come over and agree with Him. Someone has said that God rides triumphantly in His own chariot. And if you don't want to get under the wheels of those chariot, you better get aboard and ride. After all, God is carrying through His purpose in the world. You and I got here pretty late, you know, and frankly, we're not going to be here very long. So your will and my will, it will not prevail at all. I was very much interested in visiting in England those castles at Windsor Court, at Windsor Castle, Hampton Court, where Henry VIII, and I think of poor Henry VI, and I think of Richard II. Some of those boys made a trip to the Tower, lost their heads there. The very interesting thing is they had their way for a little while. Henry did, but nobody's paying attention about what Henry VIII thought or what he did. My friend, may I say to you that if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to go His way. Now, let's keep moving. That's the first question, and it's a great principle that is put down here. How can two walk together except they be agreed? The second question is, verse 4, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Of course not. A lion, you know, goes through the forest stealthily, quietly, silently, padded feet, never even crushes or breaks a limb. And then when he pounces on his prey and has his prey, you can hear him roar. He's not going to roar lest he gets his prey. And the other is, will a young lion cry out of his den if he've taken nothing? No, the little lion, he doesn't make a sound. His mama told him to keep quiet while she was away getting something for him to eat, getting his supper. And when she comes back with it and he sees it, then he lets out a real squeal, and at that time he lets out a cry, but not till then. You see, there is always a cause and a result. And the judgment of God follows man's iniquity, and it will follow. Now, we come to the fourth question. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is for him? Of course not. That's perfect nonsense to say that you can catch a bird by... And they told me as a boy that if you just put salt on their tail, you could catch them. And as a kid, I ran all over the whole neighborhood trying to get salt on a bird's tail, but didn't work. And the problem was the same principle that is here. You can't catch the bird without a trap, you see. And in nature, there is always this principle that is followed. Cause and effect. If you're going to catch a bird, you're going to have a trap. Now, we have another one here. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing in it at all? A man's not just going to keep setting a trap if he's not catching anything. I used to have 6 traps as a boy, and I would ride down on my bicycle every morning before school in the fall of the year to see if I'd caught anything. And generally in 6 traps, one of them would have a possum in it, maybe a rabbit, and sometimes a skunk, and I gave the skunk always to a friend of mine, and he went down and got it. You could get more for the fur, but I didn't care for the scent. And so when I had a trap in a place, and day after day, nothing was in it, well, that's foolish to leave it there. I moved it to some other place. If you're going to put out a trap now, you expect to catch something in the trap. Now, the 6th verse here, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? When there is the sound of alarm given, are people not going to be afraid? Now, God has said he's going to judge the people, and judgment is coming. It's rather foolish not to respond to that, that there be an effect from that, you see, and that we're not listening to the prophet any more than this nation is listening to the word of God today. Then shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it. Now, the word evil here does not mean that which is sinful or wrong. It means calamity, our judgment for that matter. And shall there be a calamity in the city? And that means, friends, that always in this world, as far as God's children are concerned, there's no such thing as an accident. No such thing as an accident for a child of God today. There must be the cause for the effect. There has to be. And God is not moving this universe today in some foolish, idle manner. And therefore, when there's a calamity, there ought to be a lesson learned from it. I believe that if America had learned the lesson of the Dust Bowl and of the drought period and the Depression, that we would never have had to fight World War II. We just didn't listen. And we didn't listen in World War II. And then we went to Vietnam. And we are not listening today at all. And my friend, if you think prosperity is just around the corner, may I say to you, we haven't come to that corner yet. God will not let any nation dwell in peace and prosperity when they're in sin. Oh, they may have a period of it, but judgment will come. Now, we're going to follow through on that next time. This is a tremendous section, friends. And if you think Amos is a fanatic, I think you're wrong. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, those are strong words to reflect on, especially as we consider the challenges facing our world. Could some of our nation's recent struggles be a form of God's judgment? Well, it's certainly worth pondering in light of the lessons that we're learning from Amos. You know, one thing's clear through Scripture, no matter the circumstances, whether in times of prosperity or poverty, we are all called to proclaim the saving work of Jesus Christ to the nations. The gospel transcends all barriers, offering salvation to every person, everywhere, through a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as Dr. McGee often reminded us, that's the mission of this ministry, to take the whole word to the whole world in ensuring that every man, woman, and child has the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus and know God through his word. So if you'd like to know more about how you can invest your prayers and gifts with us, please visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Your support means so much as together we reach out with God's word in more than 250 languages. We'd also love to help you share through the Bible with others. Here are a few ways to get involved. First, share the app. Let friends and family know about our Through the Bible app, and then consider leaving a positive review in your app store. You know, positive reviews really do help raise our visibility so that others can discover the app and then benefit from this life-changing teaching. And then second, why don't you order some Bible bus cards? You can call 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at BibleBus@ttb.org to request a pack of Bible bus cards. Each pack contains 10 cards with a QR code linking directly to Dr. McGee's teachings. And third, you can start a small group. Why don't you use our Bible companions to facilitate listening and learning together? That's what I do at my church. First, listen to Dr. McGee's teaching on your own or together, and then share the synopsis and start a meaningful discussion centered around God's Word. by answering the reflection questions provided at the end of each lesson, or just discuss the passage. And finally, pray for one another. It really is as easy as that. So invite your friends to gather around God's Word by downloading a free copy or purchasing the New Testament Companions in paperback. Just visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE for details. Again, to be in touch, visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at biblebus@ttb.org. As we continue our journey through Amos, we'll explore an important question. Does God give warnings before bringing judgment? Well, join us next time to find out. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Good morning. This is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. I pray that all is well and your hearts are in tune with the word of God today. You're truly going to be blessed. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly in Melbourne, Florida, and it's our pleasure to present unto you the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save your souls. And Jesus said in this word of God, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Isn't that wonderful news? Praise the Lord. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Our P.O. box is 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. For any correspondences, the church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We thank God for this great opportunity. I came through the fire unscathed. God did it. No one else done it. And I give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. And I just want to thank everybody that ushered up their prayers unto the Lord for me. Praise God. Because God is a great and mighty God, and he's able to do all things. Listen to what I'm saying. All things according to his will, praise God. And if you're in the will of God, God will bless you, praise the Lord. Well, I thank him and I give him all the praise. All to Jesus I owe, praise God. Sin has left its crimson stone, but Jesus has washed me white as snow. He brought me to a place where he wants me to be. You know, sometimes people can make an idol out of a church. They make idols out of money. They make idols out of jobs and all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you, God is able, and what he does is that he will show you who you are. Praise God. Well, today, I want to look at the word of God, and I want to get into Philippians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. Philippians, the second chapter. And the subject that I want to speak on today is the name of Jesus. Listen to what I'm saying. The name of Jesus. Nothing else but the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Because that's the name that's above every name. The name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a lot of us, we don't realize that we have idols all over the place. And we've made idols out of different things. But it's not going to work in the eyes of God. You cannot have anything between you and God. God is a jealous God. And he loves you, but he doesn't want anything between you and him. He wants you to praise him. He wants you to see him as clear as you can. So we want to look at what the word of God says in Philippians 2, and I want to start at the 9th verse, praise God. Wherefore God, listen to what I'm saying, wherefore God, nobody else, no denomination, no man, no bishop, no congregation, but only God. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. God did it. I want you to know, out there, radio man, it's God that did it. You are waiting to be blessed by the true and living God. I was lying up there in the hospital. I was thinking that the people were helping me, and they were trying to kill me. But let me tell you something. I thank God for everything that went on in the hospital and what they've done. But it was God that brought forth the delivery, because he and he alone was wounded for my transgression and bruised for my iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. Listen to what I'm saying, beloved. With his stripes, we are healed. I got to give him the praise and all of the glory. All right, so the name of Jesus, in Philippians 2 and verse 9, it says that, wherefore God, the creator of the universe, the one that called everything into existence, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that created the moon and the stars and the sun, and the one that created the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea. I'm telling you, I'm speaking about a great and mighty God, one that's able to do all things, one that cannot fail. And when you put your trust in him, he will bring you through. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, glory to God, and given him a name. My God, and giving him a name which is above every name. I want to tell you this morning, the name of Jesus is above every name. I don't care what it is, sickness, disease, whatever it may be, the name of Jesus is above every name. And at the name of, hallelujah, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen to what I'm saying out there in radio land. Listen, we all going to see him. We all going to stand before him. And if we make anything greater than who he is, we've got a problem. But let me tell you today, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll keep you in perfect peace. So the Bible tells us here that we have this peace and joy, and everything that God has done, he's done it for us, because his name is above every name. Miserable, you know. And Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Philippi, and I imagine how he felt when people began to make these idols and to... Because he wouldn't be saying what he's saying if the people were not trying to have all these things before God. Listen to what he's saying here. That's why the name of Jesus is above every name.
Amen.
And don't give the enemy no victory. No victory. Whatever it is, muddle through with it. Give him praise. Mm-hmm. I said give him praise. You may not be able to walk, but give him praise.
Yeah.
Like I told a lady yesterday, praise the Lord, I'm once with a walker, and she looked at me, and she quoted a scripture, and I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases, and who blesses thee and crowns thee with all tender mercies and righteousness, praise God. He forgiveth us of all our iniquities and healeth all of our disease. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. And we have to keep that in mind, praise God. So Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's telling them, man, good God Almighty, that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name. Mm-hmm. That at the name of Jesus, not at the name of denomination, not at the name of man, not at the name of no preacher, but at the name of Jesus,
every
knee is going to bow.
Every tongue.
And if you've got knees out there, you're going to bow. Mm-hmm. And if you got a tongue, you're going to confess.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're all going to stand before the Master.
Right.
And that's the reason why we have to treat one another with respect and dignity,
yes,
and show the love of God praise God and show the love of God, because one day we're going to stand before the Master.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't it something?
Yes.
We're going to stand before the Master. And I tell you, Paul also was saying there that thing, you know, like whatever he went through,
mm-hmm.
and we all go through a lot of things.
Yes, we do.
I was sitting up here when you asked me, to, well, what are you thinking about? I was meditating on the word to see whether the Holy Spirit, and I mean the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
I don't mean my spirit, the Holy Spirit, whether he was going to take me into verses of scripture where Paul was saying that he says that he don't think that he is as apprehended, that he has, you know, got the best, that he's done all of this.
I count not myself to have apprehended.
But one thing,
I do, forgetting those things which are behind,
yes.
and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
All right, let's look at that, and let's try to blow that up for a moment here, because Apostle Paul went through a lot of things. Praise God. He went through a lot of things. So to forget those things, you know, I'm not holding anything against anybody. I try my best. Whatever pops up or surfaces in my mind, I want to forgive them and keep on moving. I don't want to hold anything. Sure, we've all been mistreated. We've all had all kind of bad things that happen to us. But Paul here, and I believe what he's saying, you know, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, the whole idea, the prize is not behind me. The prize is before me.
That's what it says.
Are you understanding what
yes,
I'm saying?
That's it.
Praise God. Forgetting. In other words, sure, when Paul, before he got saved, Apostle Paul did a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he persecuted the church. On the road to Damascus, what happened is that Jesus had to get his attention, you know,
mm-hmm.
knock him off that beast on the road to Damascus and told him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And Paul, when he realized what was going on, he said, why? Who are you? And Jesus told him, I'm Jesus, glory to God of Nazareth. Why persecute thou me? Let me tell you something. This thing here is nothing to play with. Nothing at all to play with. And a lot of people are playing with the gospel. Well, see, we cannot judge them.
Nope.
Because each, you know, my grandmother used to tell me, I'm going to get out of the Bible for a moment and make a clear statement. My grandmother used to say, every tub sits on its own bottom.
Amen.
In other words, I can't sit on my bottom for you. You have to sit on your bottom for yourself. Praise God. And that way I can't get saved for you. I have to get saved for myself.
Amen.
It's, no, it's,
very good.
True.
Very good. Wisdom. That's wisdom.
Oh, that's good. That's wisdom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he said he's forgetting those things which are behind him. And he's reaching. And we all are reaching.
Amen.
You want to read the rest of that?
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ.
Mm.
Jesus.
Yeah, reaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are reaching.
Right.
I count not myself to have been apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing I know. Forgetting those things which are behind me. And I'm reaching. And we all are reaching. Because we cannot, you know, I read a verse of scripture here, and I said to myself, I said, this is very, very powerful. In 2 Corinthians, let's look at it for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back to Philippians, but we'll look at 2 Corinthians. I think we're talking about you're saved, you're now being saved, and you will be saved.
Mm.
2 Corinthians 1:10, I think. I think that's where I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a gap in between there. Do you see it?
Well, 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, who delivered us from so great a death.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wait a minute. See, we can't read too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is that we just strike over the issue. But
and does deliver.
And does deliver. He did that at Calvary's Cross. He does deliver. And I was saying to myself, wow. And now he what?
In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
In whom we trust that he will yet deliver. So salvation, according to what's being said there, is in three parts.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's in three parts. You know what I'm saying to myself? A lot of people walking around here, like yesterday or the day before, the brother told me, he said, well, he's still doing drugs and all kind of other stuff. And he said, I gotta keep my eyes on Jesus. I said, well, there are a lot of people keeping their eyes on Jesus. He's on magazines, he's on different papers and stuff. I said, but when you open up your heart and receive him as Lord and Savior of your life, ask him to come in.
Mm-hmm.
He will come in. Mm-hmm. Revelation 3 and verse 10. And I don't mean to browbeat you with scripture, because I know you don't really have a whole, you know, a lot of teaching concerning scripture. But scripture tells us Jesus stands at the door and knocks.
Yes.
And if any man, doesn't matter who you are, black, white, Chinese, Russian, Jew, Indian, whoever you may be,
mm-hmm.
if any man hear his voice, see, you got to hear his voice. You got to
hear it.
You got to hear it.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to let you read that verse again and open the door. The beauty of it is that the knob is on the inside.
Right.
So he can't open it from the outside. Only you can.
Right.
You want to get the answer?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. Revelation.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
If any man
uh-huh.
hear my voice
yes.
and open the door,
yes.
I will come in to him,
yeah, he see.
And he will sup with him, and he with me.
Yes. You see, he's not going to come for just a visitation.
Mm-hmm.
He is coming to dwell.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of it all. He's coming to live in that temple.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. All right, we want to get back to Philippians, because that's really where the message is. That name that's above every name. The name of Jesus is above cancer. The name of Jesus is above arthritis. The name of Jesus is above any name.
Yes.
People from the medical profession have given all these different diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 39 diseases
yeah.
that they've given names for.
Yep.
But Jesus' name is above all of them.
Right. Those are the stripes that was.
39 stripes.
Mm-hmm.
So it says his name is above every name.
Amen.
Excuse me. Above every name.
Mm-hmm.
That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Can you imagine? Now, this is why I so willingly want to confess him while I have breath in this earthly vessel here.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have want a confession right now, because on the crossover, there's no repentance in the grave. There's no repentance in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make no confession on the other side.
No.
Confession has to be on this side here, receiving him as Lord and Savior. So what happened is that you said, Lord, come into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
How much time we have? Mm-hmm. Praise God. Well, we have to know, because I want you to extend the invitation out here.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good because it's God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. So what happened is that you want people to know that each person, they have an opportunity to give their heart to Jesus. To give their heart to Jesus. You cannot force them.
Mm-mm.
You cannot badger them.
Nope.
You cannot make them.
Nope.
Because grace, as the word of God says, for by grace are you saved.
Amen.
Grace. That means that you have been given something that you don't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice that you make. Praise God. Heaven is not populated with good people. Heaven is populated with people that have not saved. That's what that is. Yeah. If you really look at it, heaven is populated with people that they are saved now, but they weren't saved.
Okay.
You see? Uh-huh. And hell is populated with people that
have not received them.
And yeah. But the thing of it is that they're still saved down there because they know who Jesus is, and that's what's troubling them now. You see? But it won't do them any good.
No.
It won't do them any good because they're in the wrong place. I mean, I know that sounds kind of awkward, but if you really look at it, we got to heaven because we believe Jesus.
Amen. We received him as Lord and Savior.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the people that are in hell, now they believe Jesus, but it's not doing them any good.
That's right. They should have done it while they were on earth.
That's right. That's right. Every breath that you take belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
Every heartbeat belongs to God. And we recognize that and believe it and give him all the praise. You know, the devil tell you everything, man. He tell you to go do this and do that. But listen, we have to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
Have to hear the voice of God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing when you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
And you hear him by reading his word.
Well,
people hear an audible voice, but this is where you hear him.
Yeah, well, see, people say, well, I want to hear from God. Well, all you got to do is pick your Bible up and read it.
Exactly.
And you can hear from God.
Amen.
Well, what happens is that they don't want to hear what God has to say.
Right, and then you must have the Holy Spirit to receive the revelation.
Well, that is true.
You can't just read the Bible and don't have revelation.
That is true. But first of all, you got to be born again.
Born again.
You have to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just read the Bible like you read
a novel
or some magazine. This is God's word.
That's right.
God, the creator of the universe.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. All right. And listen, let's go on a little further there on Philippians 2 there.
Okay.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that?
One way or another, you're going to confess.
You're going to confess.
That's right. And your knee's going to bow.
Yeah,
one way or another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you have a knee, you're going to bow. And if you have a tongue, you're going to confess.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus Christ, God won't have it. It won't be any other way.
No other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. But see, it's going to be to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The glory of God the Father. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. I heard a man say he's ready to go home.
Mm.
Yeah. Are you ready to go home?
You're ready with a job. When it's time for me to go home, yes, I will be ready.
But that's not the question. The question is, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
To go home?
Yes. When time comes, I will be ready.
Well, you see, there's no time.
I know.
With God.
Mm-hmm.
God lives in eternity.
Yes.
And he operates in time for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm asking, are you ready?
Am I ready? You better be ready, because you never know. You just never know when he's going to come.
Yeah, no, you never know. I hear a lot of people talk about the rapture and so forth, which is good.
Uh-huh.
The rapture.
Uh-huh.
But the point of it is that you may be raptured.
Yeah, that's right.
Your rapture may be Jesus coming to pick you up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I was reading in Luke 16
uh-huh.
where the usher,
mm-hmm.
an angel,
mm-hmm.
ushered Lazarus.
Oh, wow.
And I was trying to see if the Lord would give me a message on who is your usher.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody got to come get you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you know why?
Why?
Somebody said, huh?
Why?
Well, see, first of all, you got three spheres here. And to get to heaven, first of all, you got your The first heaven right here is what you see.
Right.
The second heaven is where all that demon activity is.
Yes, gotta get
past
that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's just all the demon activity. And God won't allow us to see that unless he wants to.
Right.
So to break through that, you get to the third heaven.
Yeah, but that's where he abode.
Yeah, so you have to have an escort.
Yeah.
and I know what I'm talking about, because if you read Daniel 10, you can see that God answered Daniel's prayer the first time that he prayed. But it took 21 days for him to get an answer. Lord have mercy. What kind of... okay. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask my lovely wife, Minister Gordy, to extend an invitation from the kindness of her heart to those out there. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. But all I want to tell you is that Jesus loves you. Praise God.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Well, we thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today, and we pray that you will have a continuation of faith to tune in every Tuesday, praise the Lord, at 10 o'clock, so that you can be blessed of the Lord. God bless you all until the next broadcast. Is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.